You're going to have to be baptized. Oh, no, I've already been sprinkled. I said, but you hadn't been baptized. But I was sprinkled. But you wasn't baptized. And he got mad. Well, I'm not going to join this church. I said, fella, for your good and my good, it's a good thing that you don't. If you're going to argue over about getting baptized for the Lord. I don't care how many jugs of water they sprinkle on your head. That's not being immersed in water and being baptized for the Lord. If it was good enough for the Lord to go down into the River Jordan and be baptized by John, then it's good enough for Martin that he be baptized wherever it was at. I have no right to turn against what we have as our doctrine. There can be no other doctrine. You know, live by what you've been taught. A strong, pure doctrine. You know, I was brought up in my years in the church of what we as Baptists stood for. And I was brought up to stand by it. Amen. And for 53 years I've stood by it. I don't say I haven't had to have some knots on my head and bumps on my shoulders because of it. But I've stood by it and God has saw me through it. And God is still with me today. And God will still do it. We don't need to teach the family maybe like we're living. We're not living in the middle of the road. Don't teach the family to compromise like a lot of people are doing. That's one of the worst things that can happen in a church is compromise. Compromise. Don't listen to these fables and myths. All I know, I've had people to tell me, I was listening to Brother So-and-so on the radio or on the TV, and he was telling me it was like this. Oh, you can get easy things to do. It's not always easy to do some of the things in the church that we have to do, but if we're going to be the true church that God set us out to be, we're going to have to bear the burden. There's going to be a load upon our shoulders. Beware of those who bring doubts and questions in your life. People who come in and want to teach this or want to teach that. Sometimes you got to take a stand and say, that's it, boy, go.
Amen.
I don't know where I told this or not, but we had a man to come to the church one time down in Louisiana. And they asked me to let him preach. Well, to please the deacons, I said, okay. He preached about 5 minutes or a little more, and I stood up and I said, sir, that's enough for today. You ladies, I didn't know y'all was so bad. Whew, he picked on you. From the color of your hair to the color of your fingernails to what shoes you were wearing. He come there that day with picking on the ladies. And Brother Brandon, if you wanted to look out over the congregation and see little puffs of smoke going up, you could say, there sits a lady who had red fingernails or who had their hair dyed a little black or whose dress just didn't suit him. I think each one of you are Christians, and you know it's not my place to stand up here and tell you how to dress. You know how. God has given you that wisdom and knowledge. But, you know, we find those people, and he said, beware of them. I wouldn't have had enough people to have took up an offering or had a prayer service if I hadn't have said something to him. Because I had some people that come to me after church and said, Martin, I was fixing to get up and walk out. But we need to go by the doctrines that God has blessed us. Beware of people who tear down rather than build up for Christ. It's the Lord that we're serving. It's His will that we need to follow. Then there is also the purpose of the doctrine. That's an idea kept before the mind in our heart and life. The purpose of the charge to the church is a four-letter word. L-O-V-E. Yeah. Love will keep a church together. Yeah. Beware of those claiming to contend for the faith, but are more contentious about the faith. We have to beware of them. Think with me. They bring division. God is not the author of confusion. Listen to what he has to say about that. Don't take Martin's word. Turn with me over right quick to the book of 1 Corinthians. The 14th chapter and verse 33. And we find these words. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So God wants peace, and God will bless a church that has peace in it. But God won't bless a church where there is confusion. This kind of love can only come from a clean, pure heart, washed in the blood of Christ. A pure, good, clean conscience. That should not be anything between you and Christ. A clean conscience, there should not be anything between you and that person sitting beside you or sitting back there in the back. We come here to church to worship God, to love our brethren, and to be loved of our brethren, and to go away with the grace of God overflowing from us and the peace of God in our heart. Let that peace of God show. When you walk by, that somebody can look at you and say, they have peace of God in their life. It's shining in their eyes. Show it. You know, we need to forgive one another, and that gives a clear conscience. You know, in the original Greek, reading that verse, here is where we get a word that burns a lot of time. It's called a hypocrite. Hypocrite means ones that's a play actor. Like the song, "Oh Yes, I'm the Great Pretender." We don't need to have that in our heart and our lives. One who pretends to be something, but is not. We need to be looking ahead to a future for the glory of God. And then next, we want to look at the provision of the doctrine. Think about that. Having swerved or is out of joint, that's a medical term. Like I said a while ago, I imagine nearly everyone here sometimes had a foot sprained or out of joint. You've had an arm or a hand, or you ever punch your finger. You remember playing basketball at school and you'd catch that ball with a finger sticking straight out. Hurt plumb down to your big toe, didn't it? And it didn't get well overnight. Well, we need to have the love of God. It says that in a church, when you have folks get out of joint, get out of socket. Who suffers? The whole body. One mad person, one upset person can stir up the whole church.
Right.
Have everybody. This is a house of love, a house to come together and worship and praise God and be at peace with our brothers. And then he talks about, in verse 7, teachers of the law. Law is good when it's used for its purpose. Listen to what Romans tells us about that. Romans, the 3rd chapter and verse 19. It says, now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You know, think with me. A saved person, they're not under the law. They're under grace.
Right.
Well, by grace are you saved. It didn't say, for by the law are you saved. Well, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's what? A gift of God that we've been blessed with. You know, I think about this in life. Sin parallels to the Ten Commandments, which condemn sin and it brings guilt. When you stop and think about it, you spit out one of them little 4 or 5 letter words, and then you stop and think of it, does it ever make you feel guilty? Does it ever make you think, why did I say that? Why did that come? You know, coming out of a well, you don't have bitter water and sweet water. You don't have hot water or cold water. You have one. And coming out of the mouth and the heart, there shouldn't be those things that breaks the heart of God and lets him know what his children are doing. Sound doctrine can be judged by whether it's a gospel for the glory of God. You know, people brought into the church by Christ and by his grace. That's how that new person down here, he was come into the church. It's by the grace of God. People are drawn to Christ by the Holy Spirit. People's not saved by these cults and isms, by bickering and fussing and griping. Folks, let's stand by a sound and by a pure and by a true doctrine right here, the Bible. That's our roadmap. That tells us how we are to live and what we're to do.
Right.
Not what some off the wall, out of the wheel, fellow on television tells you how to live.
Right.
And I'm telling you what, I've heard some on there make a dog want to go out in the woods and throw up. Some of the things they say that you have to do to be saved.
Right.
I'd die and split hell wide open if I'd done some of those things.
Right.
I was saved by the grace of God. I was washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what set me free.
Yeah.
Not by some ism or some cult who'll tell me that I've got to do this or do that. Putting $1 million a Sunday in that plate will still let me burn in hell. Standing up and hollering amen will let me burn in hell. It has to be the heart that's cleansed if that amen comes out right. You can learn a parrot to say amen. But that don't mean he knows what he's saying or that it's true. Amen, amen, amen. We need to have the heart of that God gives us and stand for the Lord. Christ of the Bible is the only way.
Amen.
When you close this up, do you know him? God loves you. God cares for you. God opened up heaven and sent the best that he had down here for old Martin. And the best that he had went yonder to an old cross and died and shed his blood that I might have life and have it more abundantly. They put him in that old grave. We're done with him. But you know, I went down from the hill of Golgotha and I went down to that old tomb they claim where Christ was buried. And I went in it and I sat down in that tomb and I put my hand over there where the body was supposed to have been and there wasn't nothing there. He's not here. He's risen. My Lord is a living Lord. My Lord is a God that cares. Up from the grave he arose. A mighty triumph over his foes. Thank God today I have a living Savior. Thank God I have today a caring Savior. Thank God I have a God today that looks down and sees to my needs and blesses me with them. And I thank him for that. Why? Because of the doctrine of the Bible that I was taught and I've tried to stand by it through the years. And it's always helped me up. I'm not going to say that since I've been a Christian, it's just been one smooth road.
That's right, amen.
But every time I've hit a bump, God has been there to catch me. Every time I stepped in a hole and staggered, God's arm picked me up. Every time the devil slapped me, God has rubbed it.
Amen.
God has been there to care for me.
Yes.
And God is there to care for you.
Right.
If you're here today without Christ, I have one word for you. That's Christ. And he'll do the rest if you'll just turn to him and let him have his way. Let him save you. Let him come in and cleanse you. As we get ready for the invitation, God is here. God is calling. God is waiting. And he wants to come into your life. And he wants to change it. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself a question. Should I die this very day? Should I die before I get home from here? And that's possible.
Right.
There could be a car wreck. There could be somebody drive by shooting. And a victim out here is shot. You know, there's no law says that won't be you. There's no law says that you won't have that car wreck before you get home. There's no law says that you won't have a heart attack. There's so many things can happen. But there is just one thing that if you come to this altar this morning and you give your heart to God, turn your life over to him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and save me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can guarantee you this. By the true doctrine of the Bible. If you come to Christ and ask him to save you, he'll save you. And it won't take no week. It won't take no hour. It won't take no 30 minutes. You ask and he'll save you.
Amen.
That quick. He can save you quicker than you can ask for it. But this one thing I can guarantee you. If you asked him to save you here in this altar, and you stand up a saved person.
That's right.
And you start home and that drunk runs over you and kills you, you'll go home to heaven.
That's right.
But preacher, I didn't get baptized. The thief on the cross didn't either. I believe in being baptized, and I was glad I was. But I'm not saying that you have to. I'm saying that you got to be baptized by the blood of Christ. And that's what will save you. If you're here and you're lost, as we stand, you come and let Christ have his way in your heart.
Stack them stones one on another.